Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Nash Jones. Good morning to you. Youth across the state have been taking classes from home since the end of March. And this morning, we're going to hear from middle and high school students as they approach the end of their semester about what the shutdown's been like. From the new challenges of online schooling to being more isolated at home and away from their friends and after school activities. Are you a middle or high schooler? If so, let us know how the last couple months have been going for you. What's the shutdown been like? How are you taking care of yourself? If you're a parent of teens or preteens, we want to hear from you too. You can give us a call this hour at 505-277-5866. And if you're on Twitter, you can also tweet the show using hashtag #LetsTalkNM. I'd like to start by welcoming on the phone this morning from Albuquerque, Brianna Eustace and Isaiah Mendez. They're students at Hayes Middle School. Brianna's a seventh grader there, and Isaiah is in eighth grade. Good morning, you two. Thanks for waking up early to talk with us this morning. Brianna.
Good morning. Hey. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And Isaiah, good morning to you as well.
Good morning.
And to help add some context and potentially answer some questions, also on the line is their language arts teacher, Sarah Cook. Good morning, Ms. Cook. Thanks for being here as well.
Morning. Thank you for having us.
Of course. So glad to have you. So, Brianna, if I could start with you, what's it been like taking classes online lately?
Well, it's just been very crazy. Like, one day I was in school, and then the next day they announced the whole stay-at-home order.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like a big change for me, but I think I've gotten pretty used to it over these past couple of weeks. And, you know, it's kind of hard, kind of easy, you know, it's like on like the middle kind of.
And in terms of the change, are you feeling any different about school since the shutdown or the work that you're doing?
Any different? Not really. Give out like new content for us to work on. You know, it's just been kind of easy. You know, I'm not learning anything new since it's the same thing.
Right. So all of the work you're doing right now is review stuff that you've learned before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit easier than before.
Yeah.
Isaiah.
New stuff.
Yeah, totally. Isaiah, what's been different or challenging about this new way of doing school for you?
Yeah, well, a few things that have been challenging, or at least that I've noticed, not necessarily for me, but is that I know friends who don't have access to technology or Wi-Fi, so they haven't been, like, getting on, or it'd be, like, every now and then.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's a huge challenge.
Yeah, and then a few things for me are, like, self-discipline. So getting up in the morning and actually getting ready, because I know that I don't have to leave my house for school, so I ended up just like sleeping in a few more minutes, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I imagine motivation is totally different now. So have both of you been getting online for class regularly? Have you been attending your online classes?
Yeah.
Brianna?
I oversleep during my morning classes, but I attend them daily. Yeah.
All right. All right. I appreciate your honesty. And are any of your friends not attending class right now? I know, Isaiah, you said some of your friends are having challenges accessing class.
Yeah, so actually, I know a few of my friends who have been like asking me if they how they can get like access to all that stuff because the schools did do like a computer distribution.
Right.
So
right.
I told them about that, but the line at Hayes was like three blocks long on the first day. So I know a lot of kids didn't get their laptops.
Oh, wow. Well, Sarah, how many of your students are consistently attending class?
So about 30% of my students come to the online classes. I have online classes twice a week.
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately, they're at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is super early in these different times. And so about 30% of the kids consistently show up. And it's going down. We're at the last week of school next week. So it's gone down actually by about 10%. So this week I had about 20% of my kids participate in the online class setting.
Wow. Why do you think so few are attending? Like what are the barriers there? I know Isaiah spoke to some of them, but from your perspective, knowing so many different students, what do you think's going on there?
So I know that a lot of students don't have access to their own device, and so they're sharing with a sibling. And so I'm sure in families with high school students who have to get credit for the work that they do or not credit for the work they miss, I'm sure that those are being prioritized for those high school students. I a lot of times I'll see students pop in and out of the class. And so I'm thinking that that is not reliable Wi-Fi, that they're trying to get in and out because those video calls do take a good connection.
Right.
Totally. I think that not feeling connected to school. And so a lot of kids just don't want to get on. And there isn't a lot of, they're not getting a letter grade for this portion of the school year. And so I think for some kids, there's just, they don't see any reason to get on.
Mm-hmm. And so they're getting a, it's a pass, no pass, pass fail, right?
Right. So they're getting a pass fail for middle school for their classes.
Well, are you a middle or high schooler taking classes online right now? If so, let us know how it's going. Are you attending class? If not, why not? We want to hear from you. You can let us know by calling in right now at 277-5866 or by email at letstalk@kunm.org. Or if you're on Twitter, you can use the hashtag letstalknm. Brianna, if I could go back to you, do you turn your camera on in class? Do you feel like you're participating when you do log in?
Well, sometimes I turn on the camera whenever, like, the teacher may be the only one that has a camera on and she doesn't want to be stuck staring at the profile pictures or so. But sometimes, you know, usually when there's another student, like a two or three students or one student with camera on, I'd rather leave mine off, you know.
Right. You don't want to be the only one out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Do you feel like it relieves some pressure having the camera off, or why would folks leave their cameras off most of the time?
I mean, you know, like usually when we are in school, you know, they would you would have to see their face either way, so they have time to get ready. You know, they have motivation because they have to go to school, and you know, you got to dress to impress. You know, socialize. And so when you have the opportunity for people not to see you, it's really easy. You know, you feel more comfort and like be able to talk, but like people not being able to see you.
Well, that's maybe a benefit, though it's been challenging for some of the teachers to not be able to see you all, that you're feeling more comfortable in the online space when so much is kind of uncomfortable about making this big, abrupt change. So that's nice. Isaiah, your school's been offering you go to Hayes Middle School, you've been offered advisement sessions, yeah?
What do you mean by that?
You have like an advisor and you go to like an advisory group? Is that right?
Oh, yes. So every Monday, we have like an advisory class, and we meet up and we get instruction on what we're doing for the rest of the week and what to expect. So that's funny because in my class, we just started doing it last week, and just like Sarah mentioned, our school's about to end next week, so we haven't got that much information from him, and he actually had a meeting, so we didn't get to do our advisory on Monday.
So it sounds like it hasn't necessarily been very helpful for you because it just started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, you have an advisory group as a teacher at the school. Do you feel like you've been able to support your students there in ways that you maybe can't in class? And like what impact do you think the group has had?
So that is a much smaller class for me. So I have 20 students in my advisory class. At our school, we call it advocacy, but most schools, they call it advisory, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to really focus on those kids right when school shut down and make sure that I could make contact with the parents and the kids in some way. So phone calls, email, we were using social media to communicate with kids. Instagram and Twitter, and some people are using TikTok or Snapchat. So I was able to make contact with almost all of my advocacy kids. So I delivered books to some and supplies. I really made sure that they knew when the computer distribution was and the food distribution, because there are a lot of moving parts where people are trying to support the kids, and communication in any big facility like this is really difficult. And so it's hard to streamline that communication. So I did feel like I was able to really communicate better at the beginning with my advocacy kids. My advocacy kids now, I have two kids showing up to those virtual meetings on Mondays.
Two.
So I'm giving most of the information that I also give during advocacy, I'm giving during my language arts portion of the class, because I know that it's inconsistent with how those kids are showing up and when they're showing up.
Do you think that has anything to do with, like, they have the resources that you gave them at the beginning, they're feeling more set, or what's motivating folks to kind of drop off?
I do think that that is the case, that they have the resources they need now from the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks of when the school shutdown happened. I also think that our directive from the district was to just make sure that we are connecting with these students and making sure that they are safe and healthy at mm-hmm. home, which I think is the right procedure to take. I think that that's the most important thing for us to do with these students. But what happens is the students who are safe and healthy at home don't want to just show up for an online class where it's just kind of a check-in. Mm-hmm. I think that they see that as a little bit of a waste of time, and they want to have something more happening in those check-ins for a lot of students. I think it's really, really mixed for the population. We have such a diverse population, of course, of students, but I think that that might be one of the reasons.
Sure, that makes sense, yeah. Hey, Isaiah, you're a basketball player, right?
Yes.
What's happened with all your activities since all of this began? Are you still staying active at all?
Yeah, so my basketball season had just got started at the beginning of March, and we had an opening tournament. So one or two weeks right after that, everything started getting shut down, and we haven't met up as a team or anything. So I've been staying active. I made my own schedule from Monday through Friday, and I have a workout plan every day. And once I get that done, I just rest the rest of the day until the next day.
Wow, good for you. What's included in your workout plan?
It's a lot of conditioning, so sit-ups, push-ups, and things like that.
Awesome. That's great. Hey, we have a comment from Katie on Twitter who says her teenager is still asleep right now because she's having some bad insomnia these days. She's supposed to be in college, or she's going to be college bound this fall out of state, and her student is scared that she won't be able to go. She's being totally respectful of social distancing, but it's taking a toll on her. Katie sent us some screenshots of a text message thread where her daughter says, "I can't physically stay cooped up until September. I feel disconnected." Isaiah, Brianna, are you relating at all with what Katie has shared with us, or do you know anybody who's kind of feeling that way?
Go ahead.
Brianna, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm pretty sure all of us, like, are going through this because this is all new. Like, we've never had this before as, like, us teenagers, and I'm pretty sure some adults as well. So it can be reasonable why you would feel scared or have insomnia, too. I'm pretty sure we all go through that. I'm pretty sure our sleep schedule is pretty messed up as well for
no
some
doubt.
Of us. And so
no doubt.
It's only reasonable for some of us to have so scared.
Well, I just want to thank you, Brianna and Isaiah, so much for sharing your experiences with us this morning. And congrats to both of you for finishing 7th and 8th grade, respectfully. So I hope you stay safe and healthy this summer. I hope you're able to have some fun, too, of course. Thanks so much for being here, both of you.
Thank you, Nash.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. Sarah, one last question for you. As we get into the summer when things might continue to be shut down, what concerns do you have for your students? And do you know if the students who have been lent computers from the school will be able to hold on to them?
So we just found out that they will, which really eased a lot of my concern, because I was really concerned that they would not have any connection if they had to return the computers. So they are, anybody except high school seniors, any students who are not high school seniors are able to keep those computers through the summer.
Oh, that's great to know.
And so that really eased a lot of my worry about that.
Well, thank you so much again, Sarah. This is Sarah Cook, a language arts teacher from Hayes Middle School. Thanks for being here with us, Sarah.
Thank you.
Of course. We're going to take a quick break. This morning, we're talking about what we're calling Generation Shutdown. The youth are living through the COVID-19 pandemic and what it's like for them. Our phone lines are open. You can call 277-5866 or tweet with hashtag #LetsTalkNM. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Nash Jones. We'll be back in a minute.
The Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm is committed to supporting KUNM, where the law firm's criminal practice can help clients petition state courts to permanently remove public records related to criminal charges and certain convictions. RothsteinLaw.com.
For your daily dose of musical refreshment, this stunning performance by flutist Mimi Stillman might be just what the doctor ordered. I'm Fred Child, inviting you to nourish your soul with sounds and stories from the world of classical music on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, the story of two Guatemalan asylum seekers and how a punishing court system has turned their lives upside down.
Please take notice that I've been in prison for 7 months and my wife is about to have a child.
Sir, I do take notice of that. I'm sorry your attorney didn't.
That's next time on Latino USA.
That's Latino USA, Monday mornings at 8 a.m. on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Nash Jones, and our focus today is on youth experiences of the coronavirus pandemic. What are the unique challenges that are being faced by youth during the stay-at-home order? If you're a young person or have kids, please give us a call. Our phone lines are open at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. We're also on Twitter with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. I want to shift the conversation a bit to talk about a specific student population that faces some unique challenges, taking classes online and not leaving the house to head to school each day, and that's transgender students. Trans students may use a different name than what's on their documents or different pronouns at school or with their peers than they do at home. And depending on how supportive their family or their teachers are, this can create some real problems for them. I was able to speak with a trans student earlier this week about his experience. He didn't want to use his name or his voice on the air for fear of any potential repercussions for speaking with us. So instead, I'm going to relay some of what the student shared with me. And to help us think through that student's situation, I'd like to introduce Wyatt Day, the youth case manager at the Transgender Resource Center of New Mexico. Wyatt, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So this student is a ninth grader, and similar to the students we've just heard from and some others, he's finding online school a bit challenging. His teachers are using inconsistent platforms. It's unclear if assignments are going to be graded. The class schedules vary, things like that. And he said it's harder to find motivation to do work at home, which is something we've heard from others as well. So, you know, something unique that he's facing, though, are some challenges with online school as a trans student. First, the name that's visible to his teachers and classmates on Google Meet or these other platforms they're using is his legal name, because that's what's associated with his school email account. So in the online classroom, he's then forced to be represented by his dead name, which for those who are unfamiliar is a person's previous or given name versus the name that they go by. So this not only outs him to his classmates, who may not have known his previous name, but it also trips up his teachers, who he says were pretty good at using the right name in person. He says that it's the display name that's the problem. They don't even process which student he is when they see the name. He said that it doesn't feel malicious. It's just them thinking he's someone else. So Wyatt, have you heard of this happening on online platforms for other students? And do you have any tips for teachers on how to best navigate this?
Yeah, I've heard of this happening on online platforms for other students and even for students before COVID. I think for both teachers and students, I think it's a bit of collaboration between, for APS, it would be referring back to gender support plans, seeing if collaborating between maybe supportive parents, educators, and administrators, looking into if emails and names in the systems themselves can be changed so that automatic, like, response can be changed, and we'll see a different name for the community of students online and the teacher themselves. And then as well, like, just making sure that that culture is already established of supporting that student, that they're in that mindset already.
Right. And the student did tell me that he hadn't seen or been offered a way to change the name associated with his email. His dad did recently reach out to the school, but hadn't heard back by the time we talked. So this week, KUNM reached out to APS for comment, and a spokesperson for the district said that if this student got in touch with her, they would be happy to change his contact info. As of this morning, we haven't heard if anything has come of that. But Wyatt, what should schools be doing? Like, what are the best practices for updating records and using a student's correct name if they haven't gotten it legally updated? I know you just mentioned these plans that APS has, for instance.
Yeah, so APS has gender support plans. That doesn't mean that charter schools don't. It's kind of per school on what their specific policies on supporting trans students. But anybody who receives federal funds has to follow Title IX, which means that they have to support students' name, pronouns, bathroom rights. And that is means that the whole school kind of has to get on board. And I always kind of focus on not just supporting the student when they're out, but also supporting the student in their safety and in the culture of the way we treat those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a have to, but a supportive sense of, like, how we go about these things on an ongoing basis, being preemptive about things and thinking about it on a daily basis rather than catching it after the fact. And that can be sometimes a more helpful thing than if a parent approaches a school, because then sometimes already there's been weeks that have gone by where a student has been in an uncomfortable place and not sure how to voice it.
Right. Yeah. So being proactive about it versus reactive when a student has already gone through a hard time. Yeah, that makes sense. So what if a student's parents aren't okay with them using a different name at school or updating their info like that? Can anything be done in that case?
That is probably a different difficult question. I am not super sure on if how the gender support plans and APS can be implemented if the parent is not involved. That's something that needs to be looked into more individually.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that both counselors, teachers, and administrators can support that student if they come to them. But it does take that, like, culture of the school to be able to switch between knowing that they're going to speak a different name over video, but see some student's dead name online, because there's not the ability to switch that for the student, because they're going to have to talk to the parents with one name and pronouns and to the student with another in order to protect that student's safety and choices in their community.
Right. So being thoughtful. Oh, go ahead.
I agree. It's just, that's the importance of protecting the student and their choices and why going to school can be such a safe space for students.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like it's a lot about being thoughtful about navigating spaces in different ways, using different names and pronouns with different in different spaces or with different people, depending on who that student has disclosed or not disclosed to.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about a high school freshman I interviewed who didn't want to use his name or voice on the show for fear of repercussions. He's trans, and he says that even his teachers who are good about using his name aren't quite as good with using his pronouns, even in person. And now that they're seeing his dead name in the online classroom, it's making that even worse. So Wyatt, what are ways that people can work on getting trans folks' pronouns right, even if they're continually tripping up?
I think the first thing I always encourage people to is just practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do make a mistake, you know, briefly apologize, correct yourself with the right pronoun, and then move on with the conversation you were having. That's really important. I also encourage people who are in close contact, whether it's in educational setting, familial, or friend setting, to educate yourself. That can always be a great way to kind of deeper inform yourself on pronouns and why they're so valuable. One thing I always shout out for communities I work with is the pronoun zine. It was made by a local creator and I believe just educator and artist in our community in Albuquerque. Their name is Stacy. Mm-hmm. And it's been really, really helpful just to share that with other people and help them get on board with understanding pronouns.
And you said that's called the pronoun zine? Z-I-N-E. Yeah. Okay, great. We're going to throw that on our webpage for this show. So if you do want to check out the pronoun zine, you can find resources on the webpage of the show. Go to KUNM.org and it's right at the top. If you're listening right now, what are the unique challenges faced by youth during the stay-at-home order? If you're a young person or if you have kids, what's your experience of the pandemic been? Are you part of a community that's facing some of these unique challenges in taking online classes? Call us at 277-5866 or tweet to us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM and let us know what you think. Wyatt, going back to my conversation with this student that I spoke with this week, to take care of himself after class when class can be hard, this student says he sometimes puts on music and a hoodie and dances around the room. And as a transmasculine person myself, I definitely related with the masculinizing and healing power of hoodies. What are some of the other self-care strategies that trans students who are having a tough time can try out from home right now?
I also support the hoodie and dancing around. I've been doing a lot of dancing around at home to music just as part of my own self-care practices. In my own conversations with youth, I know that going outside has been a really powerful space for people, mm-hmm. whether that's going on walks or taking their animals for walks, just because that can be a great time to get outside and feel like you're not stuck at home.
Sure.
That can also be getting involved in games that are really powerful and important to you. Some people are really investing in their artwork. I always say that, like, the experiment with self-care and find what's really best for you and what is satisfying and helpful and just fills you up with energy. That is the one that's going to work best. There's no one size fits all.
Those are so helpful. Thank you for sharing those. In terms of some resources, the ninth grader that I spoke with, he said he doesn't really reach out to resources. What are you recommending to young trans folks right now as far as online resources that they can access?
A lot of communities that serve youth have switched to online platforms, including the TGRC. We have all of our youth family in our play group for children and family members under 13 online via Zoom. Mm. We also we're trialing a Discord voice chat for those young people who don't feel comfortable on a video chat with Zoom or just feel like uncomfortable with the platform.
What was the name of that? Discord?
Yeah, Discord. It's a messaging app for, I think it originated with gaming. I'm very new to it, but my young people are very good at using it. And so it's a great place for them to continue to have conversations throughout the weeks between groups, which I find beneficial because I'm not always there, but they can have community conversations with each other.
That's awesome. It sounds like a cooler version of Slack or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It truly is. Way cooler.
Way cooler. The youth always lead the way in that way. Well, to ask another question, kind of shift towards some questions about the home space. This student splits time between his parents, and he says one of them, in his words, isn't very respectful of his identity. He says that spending more time at home during the shutdown has led to more stress and tension with his parent because of his gender. And when he was physically going to school, that was a big chunk of his day where he was surrounded by peers and teachers who he says are affirming. And now he spends the majority of his day at the one parent's house in a space where he doesn't feel affirmed. Is this something that you've heard is happening for other trans people during the stay-at-home order?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really empathize and encourage the resiliency of a lot of our young people who are being patient with family members who may not be supportive because they are prioritizing their safety in these spaces and just working really hard to work with those family members, even when it's very, very hard. School can be a huge safety outlet, and when you're not able to access that other space, it's a lot of work to just stay strong and stay focused when you're in a space where maybe somebody's not respecting your identity, your name, your pronouns. And if you're living in two households and shifting between those spaces, it can be kind of hard, and a lot of our youth are in that place.
Mm-hmm. He told me that he doesn't feel like he can necessarily correct his parent when he gets misgendered, and that with more education, things might improve, but that it might be best if that education came from an outside party and not himself. Do you have tips for young trans folks who are in this situation, whether that looks like self-advocating, that is, if it's safe to do so, or maybe getting others involved to advocate on their behalf with their parents or other people who are in this home environment?
Yeah. I think that it's absolutely okay to have somebody as a third party advocate. If you're a young person, it can be really hard to confront your family members or your parents, because it's not always the role that you play with your parents. So if you feel confident and that's something you want to do, there's tons of resources online, and finding what's like correct your situation and what you want to share, that's totally appropriate. Also, at the Resource Center, we've had some families reach out to us where we'll sit down with the young person and the parents that want to, and just talk to them and educate them and let them ask all the questions that they have boiling up inside them, and just get all of those kind of things that they need to get out so that they feel safe and secure in the situation. Because that can be really the big hump that parents are just confused and not sure what is happening. And the young person is very clear and understanding. And we want to make sure that kind of everybody's on the same page and help everybody kind of come to a really safe space together. And we can help with that if families feel like they want to do that together. But as long as everybody is there and wants to do that.
That sounds really helpful. Are you all holding those kinds of mediated conversations right now during the shutdown as well?
If a family reaches out to us, we are absolutely willing to do that over Zoom.
That's great. We do have a caller on the line, Dell, a fifth grader from Albuquerque. Dell, you're on the air. What would you like to share this morning?
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to share the story of how I had a virtual sleepover since I can't see any of my friends.
Awesome. What did that look like?
So I was with my friend, and her name is Rory. We do this thing, and it's called Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where you can see somebody through a computer. And we got on the line, and we talked, and we had a sleepover together. Well, we were, like, not there with each other, and it was really emotional for me, and I just feel like I could share that so that other kids, if they miss their friends, could also find a way to talk to them on Zoom and have virtual sleepovers as well.
I'm so glad you wanted to share that idea with our listeners. I'm sure a lot of them are really appreciating that. When you say it was emotional for you, what emotions came up for you during the virtual sleepover?
It made me kind of sad that I couldn't see her, but it also made me really happy that I could finally see her face. And it was really awesome to just see her and be able to talk with her.
That is so awesome. Dell, thanks so much for calling in and letting us know about your virtual sleepover. And hopefully that gives some of our listeners some ideas as well. Real quick, I want to say goodbye to Wyatt Day. Wyatt Day with the Transgender Resource Center of New Mexico. Thank you so much for coming on to talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And we're going to post the resources that Wyatt mentioned on the show page at KUNM.org. This morning, we are talking about Generation Shutdown, the young people across the state living through this pandemic and all the changes and challenges that have come with it. As we go to a quick break, know that our phone lines are open. You can call us right now at 277-5866 if you have something to share on the topic. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Nash Jones. We'll be right back.
Support provided by Weekly Alibi, covering news, arts, and entertainment for Albuquerque since 1992. The friends at Weekly Alibi invite the community to help support local independent journalism when it's needed the most. Info at alibi.com/friends.
The U.S. Supreme Court is considering the question of whether Congress disestablished the historical Muscogee Creek Reservation boundaries in Oklahoma. We'll hear what the justices had to say this week, as well as get an analysis of the High Court's hearing. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
The coronavirus health crisis is being politicized. Hear legendary progressive Noam Chomsky on the politics of the pandemic on the next Alternative Radio. That's Alternative Radio, Saturday evenings at 6, right here on 89.9 FM KUNM, KUNM.org, Albuquerque.
You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Nash Jones. We're talking this morning about youth and student experiences of the shutdown. Are you a middle or high schooler? How's online school going? If you're a graduating senior, congratulations. And how are you feeling about not getting a traditional graduation ceremony? Join the conversation this morning by calling 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866. Or if you're on a landline outside the metro area, the toll-free number is 1-877-899-5866. You can also email us at letstalk@kunm.org or on Twitter with hashtag letstalknm. So next, we are going to hear from some older students. We've heard from a few middle schoolers earlier in the hour and a fifth grader just recently. We're going to talk to some high schoolers now about how they're experiencing the shutdown. Sophia Wren is a sophomore at Albuquerque High School, soon to be junior. Good morning, Sophia.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks for joining us. So how are the online classes going?
You know, they've been going all right. It's quite a different and interesting approach to school in my personal experience. I would definitely much rather be in the classroom setting just because, you know, for me personally, it's easier to focus on the schoolwork because there's just kind of this collective drive to get stuff done and we're all there to learn. You know, there's little to no distractions. And here at my house, you know, there's so many things that can distract me at times.
Sure. What are the biggest challenges?
Oh, well, I've definitely been experiencing a little bit of a lack of motivation and focus when it comes to my schoolwork. Just because I think I'm at home, you know, I wouldn't usually be doing my schoolwork here. It's not the same, I guess, environment as I would be in school.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, since the assignments that I'm receiving, they're not actually going to count towards a grade. It's just the semester's going to be pass or fail as I know it. So it's really just voluntary, the work that our teachers are giving us. So I think that's a little bit challenging for me.
Yeah.
To do, you know.
Yeah, I bet that's kind of a changed your approach to school or how you're feeling about the work, the fact that it's as you're saying, voluntary or not going to be graded in the same way. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you said that your environment has changed, and that's a factor. What is your environment like? Have you created an environment at home or anything where you do some of your schoolwork?
Yes, actually. You know, I usually do my schoolwork in, I have this little desk area in my bedroom. I keep it pretty tidy. Although, you know, it's in my bedroom, there's distractions around it. And sometimes, you know, if I get up to get a glass of water at the end of the house in the kitchen. You know, there's distractions along the way, like maybe my phone. You know, my brother might be playing video games or watching a show, and then so that kind of takes me away from my homework for longer than I want it to be taken away from it.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like an obstacle course of trying to stay on track. We do have a Twitter comment. Jim on Twitter sent a question. He said, I'm curious how courts and law enforcement are dealing with children of divorced parents in shared households, particularly when one parent doesn't take the virus seriously and the other one does, and when one parent has recently traveled out of the state. It's an interesting question, Jim. If anyone out there knows the answer or has experience with managing divorce during the pandemic, please email us at letstalk@kunm.org, and we'll follow up with Jim. Caller Tim from Albuquerque called earlier. We lost the call, but Tim said that he became a scientist after getting a lot of guidance and inspiration from teachers and wanted to know if or how students are missing out on hands-on interactions from teachers. Sophia, Do you have any thoughts on what Tim shared about that?
Would you mind repeating what his thoughts were?
Yeah. He wanted to know if or how students like you are missing out on the hands-on interaction from teachers.
Oh yeah, for sure. I could definitely express some of my thoughts. So I'm honestly really missing the kind of like the hands-on one-on-one interaction. You know, being face-to-face with my teachers and peers, of course, that's the traditional environment, and I do find that very helpful, I guess. It's just, it's normal.
Sure.
So, yeah, I definitely miss that. You know, since I've been at home, it's all virtual, and I guess for some people, that really works well, but I really like interacting with other people and learning with someone kind of, just giving me instruction one-on-one or
no
in
doubt.
A classroom setting.
Yeah, I doubt you're alone in that. I think a lot of folks benefit from that kind of one-on-one in-person attention, no doubt. Thanks, Sophia. I'd like to bring Milian Cordova into the conversation. Milian graduated, yay, from South Valley Academy in Albuquerque just last week. Welcome, Milian, and congratulations on finishing up school.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So a lot of seniors like you have big final projects that they do. Did you have something like that? And how was it impacted by this shutdown?
Yeah, so at South Valley Academy, we have what's called a senior action project. Every senior is required to do it. And basically, that had to be shut down because of the pandemic. Each senior action project has three components. My three components was one being a media justice intern at Generation Justice, two, hosting my own radio show on KUNM 89.9, and then the third one was having a FAFSA workshop/scholarship workshop in order to help people, apply for financial aid and apply for scholarships. That whole thing had to be shut down because of this pandemic.
And so it had to be shut down. Will you still be able to do anything with all that research you did on FAFSA and on other things in your senior action project? Will you still be able to use it?
Yes, definitely. So at Generation Justice, what we have is Friday meetups. Every Friday, it kind of keeps us humane. We get to meet up with each other, see each other's faces on Zoom. And through that, this Friday meetup, I will be presenting a FAFSA workshop for my younger peers, and anyone who's trying to apply for financial aid. So that's one way I'm using the resources I found and the knowledge I found to, reciprocate that and show, people what I've learned.
Oh, that's so great. I'm so glad that you're going to be able to still pass that knowledge along to your peers with Generation Justice. If folks aren't familiar with Generation Justice, it's a youth media project here in New Mexico that airs their show Sunday nights here at 7 p.m. here on KUNM. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But Sophia as well, this question's for you too. So both of you, did either of you end up learning about the pandemic at school? I know, Sophia, you're still taking classes. Milian, you're done. But was there any conversation about the pandemic happening in your classes this semester?
You know, for me, there wasn't a ton of conversation. If something came up regarding the pandemic, my teacher might elaborate a little bit on that, and we might have just a minor discussion. But other than that, it wasn't really a huge focus. It hasn't been a huge focus in my online classes. The teachers are just still wanting to, help us finish off the semester in a way that's as normal as possible, given the situation. And I don't know, there's not a lot of, they don't really, touch on the topic very much. Mm-hmm. So
what about you, Milian?
I guess it only happened in my economics class. My economics class, we mostly focused on some issues like the stimulus bill. So, we talked about that, and we also talked about how COVID-19 was affecting supply and demand. And okay. She kind of used this to teach us about more economics. So that's the only class that really talked about it in that sense.
I gotcha. So kind of putting the pandemic in context and some of the systems that are being impacted. So if it sounds like Sophia got less of that kind of education around the pandemic at school, but both of you, not a huge amount. So how are each of you learning about what's going on right now? Where are you getting your information about the shutdown and the pandemic and the virus?
Let's see. Well, I definitely could be a little more informed on it all. But, I often hear KUNM in the background during the day. It's on like 18/7 at our house. So
awesome.
I get bits and pieces of the news being presented on regarding the pandemic that way. Also, sometimes in the evenings, my family and I, we tune into the national conversation. So that also has really good info and updates on COVID-19.
Right, and that's the NPR National Conversation where they're answering listener questions. Is that right?
Exactly, exactly.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
What about you, Milian? Where are you getting most of your information?
I mostly get my information on COVID-19 from my family. Mm-hmm. So if it's brought up or we bring it up from what my dad heard on the news, or if we're talking about how many cases is in this state or that state, and if we're flatlining, and just any of that stuff, he'll come to me, talk to me about it. Other than that, I really don't get it from my friends, but my family is mostly my source.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're having those conversations as a family. Milian, with the shutdown still in place, you were not able to have a traditional graduation ceremony like many seniors across the state. How are you feeling about that?
It's kind of sad, you worked your whole 4 years of high school just to get to this point. To have it taken away from you, it kind of sucks. But,
totally.
It happens, and you have to realize that stuff like this happens, and you have to just work through it.
Sure, sure. How are you working through it?
I feel like just keeping motivated, applying, applying for college, making sure I do exactly what I've been wanting to do. And I know that high school is a big part of your life, especially graduating. You're going to have more moments in college, and I'm looking forward to college.
That's a strong outlook. It's a positive outlook. But no doubt, graduation is a big deal. It's a big deal, and it's exciting. So if your school was going to do something special for you after all as kind of an alternative to the traditional ceremony, what would you want that to look like?
Some things have come up in the mix. They've said we can do, I've seen it on social media, we can do some sort of drive-through ceremony where everyone's in their cars, so it's safer, and we announce everybody in order by the name, so we can have some sort of demonstration of us, so everyone knows who graduated. Another thing was a banner or poster. Something that they did do at Tufa Academy, they put a poster outside. It said, "Class 2020 will be remembered." So that was, that was really nice of them.
Yeah, that is neat. Yeah, and speaking, go ahead. Other things?
No, go ahead.
All right. Well, speaking of kind of what you mentioned about a drive-through, whether or not South Valley Academy ends up doing something like that, there is a community-wide graduation car parade happening this Saturday at noon in Albuquerque. That's going to be starting at University Going Up Gibson. It's hosted by the organization Fight for Our Lives. We're going to share that information for any of you who might want to participate or come cheer on the graduates on our show page at KUNM.org if you want to check that out. So maybe that's an option for you, Milian, but I like the options that you ran down from what the school is thinking about doing, and I hope you feel celebrated. I hope you're able to feel celebrated because it's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, so I'm kind of interested in how each of you, both Milian and Sophia, how each of you is feeling about the risk of COVID-19 and staying safe. Some have called for the economy to open up sooner than later. Health experts are warning, though, that doing so would likely increase the death toll. Do either of you have thoughts on when it might feel safe to return to some kind of normal or new normal of public gatherings?
You know, I personally, I don't really have an idea of when it, or when I think it should open back up and when things should go back to maybe, you know, a new normal. I honestly think, though, that the economy should open back up when the time is right. Of course, everyone is wanting the economy to open back up again, so it can hopefully improve because it's pretty bad right now. But I think it should be done in a manner that's safe, timely, thoughtful, you know, just so we don't have a resurgence of COVID-positive cases and so we're overwhelmed again.
Sure, yeah. Milian, what are your thoughts?
I also agree with that. Just open it up when the time is right rather than trying to push for, you know, it opening up so fast. Although I understand a lot of Americans, you know, in my everyday life, my family, people need money, you know, need to go back to their jobs, they need money. But, like, it's safer to not do so because we don't want, you know, those death totals to rise, cases to rise. So I think it's better to listen to the people who know what they're talking about, which are the health groups.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I appreciate you all sharing your perspective. I'm not sure how many of our listeners necessarily hear youth perspectives on these big questions that we're all grappling with. Milian, as we are winding down on time, as you mentioned, you're a media justice intern for Generation Justice, the youth media project that airs at 7 p.m. here on KUNM on Sundays, their radio program. The episode this Sunday happens to be all about honoring youth who are graduating this year, you included, Milian. Anything else you would like to tell listeners about this special program that's airing on Sunday?
Yeah, so basically, me and a couple of my friends I asked to be on the air were presenting their speech, and other people who are graduating are also presenting some sort of speech or like a message towards you know, class 2020 and other classes. So yeah, I would say just tune in, listen to what we have to say. I'll be on there, and yeah.
Definitely. Tune in this Sunday at 7 p.m. to hear Generation Justice's graduation show. You can find youth reflections on the shutdown that they put together on their social media pages as well. We'll add those links to the show notes. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks to Sophia, Fia, and Milian. And thanks to everyone who called in and to each of our guests. Let's keep the conversation going. Share your thoughts on Twitter with hashtag #LetsTalkNM. We're also on Facebook at KUNM Radio. If you missed part of the show today, you can stream it online or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For more on how the pandemic is impacting us all here in New Mexico, check out our show, Your New Mexico Government, which airs at 7:30 p.m. Tonight, they're looking into issues around health insurance and healthcare access. And tomorrow, they're lifting the stories of janitorial staff, sanitation workers, and other folks helping to keep things clean during the pandemic. Thank you to our hardworking team. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. The live tweeting was done by Bryce Dix, who is graduating from UNM and who we are going to miss so much here at the station. Hannah Colton produced today's show and is our executive producer. I'm Nash Jones. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.